Barbara Marlowe, Real One. So could I ask you, first of all, Barbara, to tell me something about your background in Poland before the war? You know, something about the family you came from.
I was born in September 1930, the younger daughter of Leon and Bronisława Bregman. My brother was 8 years older than I, so I was a very welcome daughter, the first girl in the family, especially welcome because my grandparents had lost a baby daughter from meningitis, and they were delighted to have a granddaughter. My mother's family I knew little of, because her father died when she was in her teens, and as she was the youngest of six children, her mother was very old, in her late 70s, when I was born. So I didn't have much contact with her. I went to visit her, but I really didn't know her very well, and she died in January 1939. Of my mother's five sisters, four sisters and a brother, one married an Austrian officer, a colonel in the Schwarzenberg Husaren, and lived in Vienna. The other one married a Frenchman and lived in France with my cousin, who I'm still in contact with. The only brother lived in Belgium, and that left two sisters in Poland. Her eldest one, who was so much older that in fact her children were of the same age as my mother. One of the daughter of this eldest sister was in fact deported during the war to Vienna with her daughter, and they both finished as nuns in the Dominican convent, where my young cousin, my younger cousin, still is, and just retired as a professor of French and Latin. On my father's side, my great-grandfather came from Eastern Point, Grodno, and was a contractor to the Imperial Army. He retired quite young and built an estate in Poland. I don't exactly know where it was, but somewhere not very far from Warsaw, called Poniatów, which was being looked after by one of his sons. But during a pogrom, the son's wife was killed, and the estate was gone. This uncle was an engineer and a bit of an inventor who produced for my parents' wedding present a pressure cooker in 1921. He married again at the beginning of the war and perished with his wife. My great-grandfather, when he retired, devoted himself to social work, and he was at one point of time a president of the Great Synagogue in Tłumaczki Street. My grandfather, Ludwig Bregman, was a neurologist who graduated from a university of Dorpat in Estonia, and did postgraduate studies at Heidelberg University in Germany, in Vienna. He was consultant at the Municipal Hospital in Austria, president of the Polish Neurological Society, chairman of the Association for the Prevention of Alcoholism, and a member of many learned and professional bodies. He contributed to Press Medicale, it's one of the things which I remember, because great volumes in his library, and he was a great researcher and very learned man, whom I loved very much. He was a consultant at the Jewish Hospital for Nervous Diseases, and I'm not quite sure, in Chester, Warsaw. He had retired by the time war broke out, but continued to treat some patients, and died in the Warsaw Ghetto in November 1941, having contracted typhoid from one of the patients he had visited in the ghetto. His funeral was one of the last ones where a whole cortege was allowed to leave the ghetto and visit the Polish cemetery, and I remember it well, the wonderful speeches. On my grandmother's side, the family came from Eastern Poland, and they had the matchmaking factory, the only matchmaking factory in Poland, in Pinsk, which was sold in the 1930s to the Swedish match monopoly. But one of her brothers continued as a director up to the time of the war. Other members of the family were also well known in the professions, include one of his nieces married I don't remember his name, but a rabbi called Braude from Lodz, who became a Polish senator and was well known for his interest and sponsoring of Jewish education in Poland. This part of the family lived near Lwów in southeastern Poland, in or near. They had one branch had a big estate, which of course is now in part of the Ukraine. The friends remember. My grandfather's sister, only sister, married a lawyer who was responsible. He was part of the commission for the codification of Polish law, Mr. Ettinger, E-W-T-I-N-G-E-R. His son was also a lawyer and became a very prominent criminal lawyer, defending a number of very famous cases. My father, Leon, was born in 1899. In 1916, he became involved with the Polish independence movement and joined the military organization. Was killed by the Germans a year later and put on trial before military tribunal. After a few months in prison, he was released, but immediately rejoined and took part in the insurrection of November 1918, which achieved independence for Poland. He joined the army and served till the end of the war against Russia. He was commissioned in one of the most famous Polish regiments, the 5th Infantry, and got the military cross, or equivalent of, at Lida in 1920. At one time, he formed part of the guard of Piłsudski, of which he was very proud. He married in 1921, and he took a law degree in Warsaw, after which he lived for a year in Vienna, where he did an apprenticeship in an oil company, and he never practiced law, but became the director of an import-export company for oil products. And I think, I don't know whether it was the only one, but one of his major companies he dealt with was R.A. Lister in Droitwich in England. So he visited England a number of times and knew some English, which helped him later on. My only brother, George, was born in November 1922 and went to a private school, the Gymnasium Rennes in Warsaw. But at the age of 13, took the I think it was 13, but it might have been 11, I'm not sure. He took the entrance exam to Gymnasium Bartolego, which in fact the Queen visited during her recent visit to Poland. It was Gymnasium number one, and very famous, where the majority of pupils were sons of government officials and ministers and of the military. So there was a question whether, as a Jew, he would be admitted, because there were very, very few Jewish boys, but he was. And he never had any problems with any of his friends, who during the war were extremely helpful, they and their families, to my mother and myself. Also, I went to a private elementary school in 1937. I was always told that I would be sitting entrance exam to the gymnasium, equivalent gymnasium number one for girls, the Queen Jadwiga Gymnasium in Warsaw. When I went to school, perhaps for the first time that I realized that I was different, because I did not attend religious education lessons, which I resented very much, especially when my friends were preparing for the first communion with the wonderful white dresses. But that was perhaps probably the first time I realized that I might have been slightly different. My contact with the Jewish religion was confined to my visiting my grandmother at the synagogue with a bunch of flowers. I think it was Festival of Hanukkah, Festival of Lights, when I used to go and take a bunch of flowers to my grandmother there. And my brother was bar mitzvah, but I was very little at the time. So all I know is that it was a big party. I was brought up on Polish history, on my father's experiences. I was an early reader, and I loved reading about Polish history and the fight against the various occupations. I loved to see my father's uniform. I remember when he was going to the palace to be decorated with the Order of Merit, and I think it was in 1939, there was great pride in the family because three generations of the family were decorated with the Order of Merit at the same time. My father's only brother, Alexander Bregman, became a very prominent. He went to university at the École des Sciences Politiques in Paris, and he became a correspondent for the Polish Press Agency and editor of the Express in Warsaw. He later was known as one of the most prominent political journalists and became editor of the Polish Daily in England. This is about the background of my family.
Yes, you were. From what you've been describing, it would seem that your family was very well integrated with Polish life rather than Jewish life, per se. Is that right?
Yes and no. Also, I cannot remember I think my parents' friends came from the same type of Jewish families, rather than Polish families. So their social life centered among the same group of people who were Jewish but felt themselves Polish.
At this time, would there have been a distinction, do you know, between being a Pole and being a Jew?
I think, yes, there was, because there were restrictions on Jews at universities. So I think to an extent there was. But I wasn't conscious of it. I never came across anybody who had anything nasty to say to me or called me Jewish. Anything like that. In fact, one of my very proud memories is meeting Marshal Piłsudski in the park when he came up to me and I told him that my father had been his batman, which wasn't quite true, but very close to it, because he was part of the guard at the Belvedere Palace.
What was he like, Piłsudski? You know,
I must have been about 5 years old at the time. Very imposing, very kindly, loved children. I remember him patting me on the head. And then he died the following year, and my father and my brother, who was in the Boy Scouts, both went to Krakow to build, I don't know what it's called, it was called Kopiec, which was a big mound of earth. People sort of bringing earth and putting it up to commemorate Piłsudski. My father always felt very highly of him.
Did you have any idea that European events were in a ferment? I know you were very young at this time, weren't you? But did you have any idea of the approaching war?
I think in 1939 there was a lot of there was annexation of Austria. On the radio you could hear about the Poles going into Czechoslovakia. Yes, I knew something was going on, but of course I had no appreciation of what it was till August 1939, when my mother and I were on holiday in the mountain resort of Zakopane, and my brother was with my uncle sailing on the Mazurian lakes while my father was in Warsaw, and I remember the frantic telephone calls, come back. In fact, we got onto the train and got to Krakow. We were met by some friends who persuaded my mother to leave the train to show me Krakow, where I had never been before. And the next morning, we were visiting the Babel Castle when I was standing at the top of the stairs and I suddenly saw my father, who had arrived on the overnight train to make sure that he would get back to Warsaw. That must have been about the 29th of August. And the trains were terribly crowded. He had got onto a siding to get some seats for us. And when we got to Warsaw, I went with my grandparents to a little resort near Warsaw called Otwock. And it was there with them when war broke out. And I remember rushing downstairs and hearing people saying war had broken out. And the first bombs dropped near there. I remember this, everybody's shock. After that, on that Sunday, my parents with my brother came to see us, and there was a lot of discussion whether we should stay there or whether we should go back to Warsaw. And my father was desperately trying to get himself drafted back into the army. My brother, as a scout, was already active in whatever they were doing at the time. I think with bombs coming down, they were helping to dig people out and so on. And then they decided that we should come back to Warsaw. But I can't remember what date it was. It was certainly before the 7th, because that was the day when there was an appeal by the president of Warsaw for all able-bodied men to leave the town, the city. So my mother and I went to stay with my grandparents in Napoleon, on the corner of Napoleonplatz and Moniuszki. And in fact, we never went back to our apartment because that was bombed in September. I can't remember when. All was left was a chimney stack in my bedroom. One of these big tiled fireplaces, not fireplaces, but I don't know what it was called. So we were at my grandparents, and my father left Warsaw with the army, and my brother left with the Boy Scouts, and my mother and I were with my grandparents at that time. We stayed with them throughout the bombardment, but at one point, because opposite my grandparents' house was the tallest building in Warsaw. It was a Prudential Tower. It was called Prudential Skyscraper, but we wouldn't call that today a skyscraper. And the Germans were trying to bomb it, so there was quite a concentration of bombing on that house. We went to the next street where my grandmother's brother lived and spent days and nights in the shelter there. And really emerged, I was petrified at that time. I found the bombing of Warsaw absolutely shattering and fearsome. And I remember when we finally emerged, because at the beginning of September, and saw all the dead horses in the square, and so many houses in ruins and fires. It was dreadful. And a terrible shock. But my grandparents' flat was not damaged, so we went back there. And unfortunately, I appear to have contracted scarlet fever in the shelters. So I went down with scarlet fever. By that time, the Germans were occupying Warsaw, and all contagious diseases had to be reported. But when a German doctor came to see me at my grandparents' apartment, he recognized my grandfather's position and allowed me to stay there. I was isolated, but had my old nanny nursing me. By coincidence, both my father and my brother returned to Warsaw on the day Hitler took the victory parade. They suddenly turned up. Well, my mother was very happy to see them, but at the same time was petrified, because being a councillor of the city of Warsaw, my father's name was on every possible list, and compounded by being Jewish, he was extremely exposed. At some time during that period, I'm not quite sure when, my grandfather was arrested as part of the prominent people in Warsaw who were rounded up. I think it must have been around the time of Hitler's visit. They were all rounded up and interned, but it was only for a short period, and he came back home. My father and my brother had to wear, of course, the rest of the family had to wear the Star of David, which my brother resented greatly. And every time he went out, my mother was absolutely petrified, because he would just look at every German if he wanted to kill him. He was made to dig up snow on some occasions, and the whole thing was an absolute nightmare. But I think in November, suddenly, we got notification from the Romanian embassy that my uncle, Alexander, who had left Poland with the Polish Minister of Information and the rest of the Polish government, and was in Romania, had arranged for Romanian visas for my father and my brother, realizing that they were very exposed to danger. During that period, things were pretty strange. The Germans used to come into the flat at will and pick up whatever they wanted. Carpets, pictures. On one occasion, they decided to take away the dining room furniture. And as they were carrying it out, I suddenly realized that my stamp collection was in one of the drawers. So I rushed to my grandmother in tears and I said, I want my stamps. And I will never forget it. There were two young German soldiers carrying the sideboard. When my grandmother, who spoke very good German as she went to boarding school in Germany in her youth, went up and asked, could she take out my stamps? And the young German soldier turned round and smacked her across the face. There were other occasions where they behaved perfectly normally, and they still took what they wanted. They took away all the equipment in my grandfather's surgery, including an x-ray and couch, and I don't know what other apparatus he had. All this was carried away, and there were big stamps put on the door saying that the property inside is the property of the German Reich and would be taken away and we are not allowed to take anything out. But there was another occasion when a soldier went into the kitchen and saw some copper pans and was delighted to see that they came from a factory in which he used to work before the war. And he was very, very friendly. He took them away, of course, but he was being very nice. So things were very difficult. Of course, I never went to school at that time. The school was closed, and I think Jewish children were not allowed to go to school. I don't remember what happened. I know that I did not go to school. My father's visa was official, but he was very reluctant to leave without my mother and myself. So he purchased South American visas for us. And the idea was that we would all leave Poland and hopefully get to France, where my father would join the Polish army, while my mother and myself would stay with her sister in southern France, near in a small place called Tarbes in the Pyrenees. Everything was ready. The cases were packed. My dolls were dressed for traveling. The German customs came to the flat to stamp and seal the cases. And that was at the beginning of April 1940. My father had been to the Gestapo where they checked that his name was not on the file, which he said was the worst moment of his life, but somehow they didn't pick up his right papers. So he got his passport stamped, but all passports had to be countersigned by the governor, Frank, in Krakow. Now there were special agents who, for a fee, would take the passports to Krakow and get them stamped. And here, fate took an unexpected turn. The agent came back and said that he was afraid to put so many passports in one name up for signature. And as he regarded that my father and brother were most at risk, their passports were countersigned, but my mother's passport was not. And they assured her that they would do it the following week. My father wanted to wait for us, but my mother was so scared of the implications of the remaining, even a few more days in Poland that she insisted that they leave.